Well, it's my joy to invite you to open your copy of God's Word to Romans 15. We've just sung, "You're the way, the truth, and the life." It's a joy as a preacher to know He's the vine, we're just a branch. And as we come before His Word, we come before His truth, and to know that we can fully trust it. Now, kids are gathering in the back, those who want to be part of the optional kids' worship time. But our text today is going to begin in verse 5. The sermon is endurance, encouragement, hope, and the nations. But I want to read, before we have our scripture reading, verse 4. I want you to hear this because we're hearing His Word. And though Paul in this letter is talking about the Old Testament, this verse every bit as much applies to the book of Romans as well. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." With that in mind, I invite you to stand and honor the reading of God's Word as I read from verse 5. "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again it is said, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol Him.' And again Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In Him will the Gentiles hope.' May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, those words of blessing of Paul over the church in Rome, a church that he had not even met in person, Lord, may those words of blessing be true of everybody here. Lord, would you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, cause us to abound in hope as we look to you, the God of hope, the God of endurance, and the God of encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for your purposes for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. There are some places, some church settings, where the moment of conversion, you get a lot of emphasis on that. You get the, have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, if you have not begun to follow Jesus, we encourage you, may this today be that day. And there's a good focus. That's good. That's good to have the focus on the moment of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Last week, part of the sermon was talking about how exciting, the most exciting event in someone's life is when they come to faith in Jesus Christ. But some places you don't hear very much about, well, what next? What next? Oh, wait, we're waiting for Jesus to come again. The clouds will open, the sky will split, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and will be with the Lord. Praise the Lord, we wait for that. Yes, we do. And this will always be a church, may it be, that we talk about coming to faith in Jesus and about the return of Jesus. But what about in between? What are we to think about all the season between when you come to faith and when you go to glory to be with the Lord or until He comes back? What about that? What about the season between? Well, there's a lot that could be said about the season between. But some of the things that we could say that season is about is a season of endurance, a season of encouragement. May it be described with encouragement, and a season of hope as we look forward. Those are three words. Now, in our culture, we have somewhat a culture of blessing, a culture of communicating our desire for others that happens. But it's not maybe as much as some other cultures. Like we do, if it's your birthday, anybody in here, if it's your birthday, I won't ask you to stand up. But we could sing to you a song that just says, happy birthday. Now, why do we say that? Because we want you to have a good day. And even the greeting cards might say, we hope this day is a great day for you. But there are some cultures where a birthday card, you would open it up and you would see a big, like in Ukraine, they would have it like carefully, their best handwriting, written out like a whole paragraph of, may these things happen in your life. We wish this. This is our desire for you. When somebody graduates, you communicate your desire for this person, what you want to see happen in their life. The song we used to sing on a birthday at the church, among like the youth of the church, which was everybody basically from these guys' age up till marriage. It was big range of years, but it wasn't just happy birthday. It was a song, sounded very Slavic, to be bajayim, and it would be like, we desire for you peace. We desire for you joy. Next verse. We desire for you, multiple verses of what we desire for. Here you have, in verse 4 that I just read, it says that the scriptures are for a purpose, and that includes endurance, that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Encouragement, endurance, and hope. And now you have Paul in this text. He says words of blessing, words of desire for what is he wanting to see in the church at Rome? And he says this, may the God of endurance and encouragement. Where's hope? He just said endurance, encouragement, and hope. And here, may the God of endurance and encouragement. And if you keep reading our last verse of our passage, verse 13, may the God of hope. He lists all three. Now, some of you have a heading in your scripture that's not part of the original text. It's just helping to find, help people to find different parts. But you have a heading maybe right there at verse 8, and it caused you to miss that. You may have never noticed before that the three are repeated and that it forms a package. And verse 5 through 13 is this package. And you see once more endurance, encouragement, and hope. And I would propose to you today that everything in those verses has to do with endurance, encouragement, and hope. That's our topic today. Everything in the midst, it has to do with this season that we are in after we've come to faith in Christ and we're waiting. Let's see what these things are. Verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you. May God do this for you. That's his prayer. You hear the prayer of Paul coming out, not as a prayer, but as a desire. If you want to know how is Paul praying for the church in Rome, here you go. This is part of it. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you. May he do this for you. What? To live in such harmony with one another. In such harmony with one another. Now, harmony, we hear harmony and we think what we just heard from the stage. We heard harmony. I hope you thought it was good harmony. I enjoyed it. We heard music. I saw some nodded heads, so that's good. Harmony. Now, the word in the Greek is not a musical word. It's not. It's just saying the same mind, But to go on the, at least what's suggested here in the English of the music, let me go with this for just a moment. Harmony is not unison. All of the people, musically inclined people in the room, unison is when everybody sings the exact same note. It's like going, or it's not, this idea is not like you're going to the orchestra concert and Aidan, our own Aidan Higgins there's a recital tonight that everybody's playing a French horn. Right? It's not the strings and the percussion but they're not going to be playing unison. If everybody's playing the same instrument, the same note, that would be very, very, I don't know if you'd have very many concerts like that. There's a beauty to the difference even as it's together. So when we say harmony, I'm not talking about unison, and I'm also not talking about dissonance. Dissonance would be clashing against one another. This one's playing this song, this one's playing a different song, or they're playing notes that just don't go together enough that it causes everybody to cringe a little bit. That's not what we're talking about, but it is life in harmony. Look, if you were to underline, just look at this verse, and you're trying to underline everything that has to do with the church life together. Or highlight, if some of you are the highlighters in the room, you can see the colors. Some people like to, their Bible gets very colorful. But if you were to highlight only the stuff that has to do with church life together, let's see. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony. Oh, I'm going to underline that with one another. Okay, underline that. In accord with Christ Jesus, underline that because we're together with Him. Together, underlining again. You may with one voice underline that too. You're just underlining the whole verse. Look at the piling and piling on of phrases that are communicating y'all together, the two, y'all together, harmony according with Christ Jesus is one of those. By the peace that He gives. What does it mean? In accord with Christ Jesus. By the peace that He gives. In the pattern of service of others that His life demonstrates. With the same forgiveness you see in Jesus. With the same forbearance. The same reconciliation heart that is displayed through Christ. It is an answer, and accord to Christ Jesus is an answer to His prayer. Listen to His prayer to the Father, John 17, verse 20. He says, I do not ask for these only, His disciples, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. Who's that? Among others, that's us. Those who will believe through their word. What is He praying? That they may all be one. Just as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory that You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one. That's the desire of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as He prays to His Father. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it and take it in. Now, some of you may think, I've heard Pastor Todd quote this already in a sermon. Maybe twice. This might be the third in only 7 months. Because we can't go away from this. I will never abandon this theme. Some of you might think, oh, would Pastor Todd please lay off the theme of forgiving one another, bearing with one another, serving together, being of one mind. No, I won't, because the Scripture doesn't. The Scripture leans in on this theme. It is huge in the heart of Christ that we be one, that we love one another, that we live in harmony, that we encourage one another, that we endure together, that we share life together for His glory. The theme continues, that together you may with one voice. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture when you think of the differences that existed in the church in Rome. Different backgrounds, just all the different people there in that global city. And I mean, I don't know what you imagine if I say to you, imagine the church in Rome. Do your best. What picture comes to your mind of these Romans? Now picture them singing together. The song Abide. We'll just use that since we just sung it. Whatever song they sang. We know that as persecution came, and it's interesting because here he's talking about, in our previous text, he's going to be where we're about to go. There's the idea of the Jerusalem is now the capital of persecution. Well, pretty soon it's going to be Rome. And yet they're singing with one voice, glorifying the God and Father who is of Jesus Christ, the God through whom they have experienced grace. There's a special glory there in seeing His people, seeing His praises together. Now, when I talk about church unity, church togetherness, church being of one mind, that may not be what would first come to your mind if I said, what comes to your mind when you think of Christian endurance, encouragement, and hope? You might think, well, okay, that's going to be this, but then church life is a different topic, like a different book, maybe on the same shelf. It's not the way it is in the mind of God. This is a package altogether. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another. These things go together, and now it should make sense to you as you think about this. Because it's more than just personal devotion. Some of us think, okay, like my Christian life has to do with me and my Bible in my closet with the Lord. And I hope that's part of what your Christian life is. But that's not the sum total of your Christian life. It's more than just you and your Bible in the closet with the Lord. It's about a family. Now, some people kind of stick more with the idea of family. Oh, yeah, but I think about Christian life as the father and the mother and the kids gathered around, and we talk about the things of the faith. And as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And I hope that is part of your Christian life. For those, and I realize when I say that, some people maybe past that stage in life or whatever, but just to give that picture of a gathering, whether that's an extended family coming together at Thanksgiving time, or whether that's, you know, what we think of as the family unit, everybody sharing a home together, that this family would love and serve the Lord. I hope that describes your family, though I know it doesn't describe every family in here. And we praise God for people who come to faith out of families who don't follow Jesus. And we long with them the sorrow of praying and longing for Christ to be shared by their whole family. But we are, Ashland Danville is more than just a collection of families that, you know, serve the Lord and love the Lord. We are also all together a family living for Jesus. So, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live together. This is more than just y'all over there and y'all over there. This is one voice, not a bunch of one voices. One voice in this part of the church family, and then may these over here in this church part of the church family live with one voice, but may you all with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It should make sense to you because endurance and encouragement are needed for church life, are they not? Has anybody in here ever had a moment in church life where you felt like, to press on in church life, I need encouragement? If not, talk to me afterwards. I want to hear about your church background. Endurance and encouragement are needed to press on in life and to press on in life together. We need to be encouraged. Yesterday, after I'd done, there had been a lot of things going on. It's been a full week. And I was sitting down on the couch and I said, I really feel like I'm done for the day. But I have a yard that needs to be mowed. And Anka said to me, it is nice outside. You're right. More rains are coming. You're right. It's going to be darker, earlier. That's what I needed. I just needed that little encouragement to get up and mow the yard. Well, we need encouragement. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant us to live in harmony. In other words, it may not be the easiest thing always to live in harmony with one another. May God, the God of endurance and encouragement, grant it to us. Let's press on. Let's press on because of who He is. And it's for His glory. With one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to caution you, it all works the other way too. Endurance and encouragement are needed for church life, but life together in the faith has something to do with encouraging us and helping us to endure. It works the other way too. That's why I encourage people today, this week. I met a guy, he's just a sophomore, but he's planning to go on to a very intensive postgraduate study. And I encouraged him, when you do that, you may change cities and be in a new setting. Make sure you make time for the people of God. It's really easy at sometimes when life just gets so crazy and intense, like you don't know what's going on. I just don't have time. I don't have time. Maybe I can go to worship most Sundays, but to have a fellowship group together, I don't have time. My answer is, make time. You make time to eat. You make time to sleep. Make time for the people of God. You might have to pursue it. You might have to do the hard work of trying to find a church and see what their small groups are and see when you can gather together with people. But you need to be fellowshipping with God's people. You need to be serving with His people. It's good for you. If you want to thrive, endure, and be encouraged, you need these things. So it works the other way too. I want to caution people. Sometimes they, in general, I feel like most all of us underestimate our role. We underestimate our role in other people's lives. And we think, oh, if I miss out, I'm just missing out. We don't realize the relational significance that each person in the family has in others. We also underestimate sometimes when we think, oh, you know, I just have something that is, I just think a lot about, I just need to vent it. I'm having a difficulty with this person, I just need to get it off my chest. Or whatever kind of talk, there can be this kind of thing that's almost like, this is relational, this is good for me. And we never really think, what could this impact have on others' encouragement? Or on others' endurance? Well, I'm talking, I'm not saying you just never share things, but often that needs to be shared with that person. There's a conversation that should happen that's not happening, and instead these other conversations happen, and it can cause an undercurrent, and you may not realize that what you're doing is working against the direction of the God of endurance and encouragement. And instead, by having the conversation that ought to happen, as you live in such harmony with one another, that doesn't mean that it's always easy, doesn't mean there's always agreement, but if you seek that and you say, okay, I'm going to live in accord with Christ Jesus, I'm going to respond to this as Christ Jesus would have me, and together, you don't let that be a challenge against the one voice, together, glorifying God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, people are helped, people are encouraged, people are strengthened, no matter what. When I was younger, in high school, I was way back then in high school, I remember just for the first time in life, I don't know what happened in my discipleship between 10 and around this time, 4 years or so that happened, but I don't think the one another's had caught my attention yet. Love one another. Forgive one another. Serve one another. Olive bear with one another. But as I started to think about these and think about the beauties of church life, I applied them all in my little circle of friends. Mentally, in my mind, all of the one another. Look, this is what's going on. This is what's going on in my life, me and my friends. Loving one another, praying for one another. Never crossed my mind that the older people in my church were part of the one another's. Didn't even occur to me. Didn't occur to me that the younger ones. And so an encouragement is, let that circle of whatever you think of as the one another's expand to be the full church family. And let it be true of us here. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says next, the thought is leads right up to verse 7. And verse 7 is the instructions of our text today. Therefore, welcome one another. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. It's an instruction. It's a command. It's Paul has already expressed his desire and wish for them. Now he's telling them, this is what you ought to do. Now, if I were to walk around the room and say to different people before this text, you didn't see this text, that would be cheating because I just read the verse, you know. But if you didn't have this, and I just went up to you with a microphone and said, what has Christ done for you? We could probably have a lot of wonderful answers. Christ has forgiven me. Christ has given me life. We have a lot of great answers. I wonder how many people I would need to ask before somebody said, oh, Christ welcomed me. That doesn't maybe jump to our mind. And so if we say, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, well, how has he welcomed you? What did Christ do to you to welcome you? Remember, we're talking about Christ who his disciples, two of them, they came when John the Baptist told them who he was. Basically, they came to him and just came up to him. I think they just didn't even know what to say when he engaged with conversation with them. And they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And what was his words? Come. Come and you will see. That's the heart of Christ. It's funny because he is an example of hospitality for all of us. And yet, he had no home. So he couldn't say, come to my house. He said, foxes have holes and dens, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was an example of homeless hospitality. He said to Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. But he had an openness. He let people in. And those people aren't just those people then. They're you. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. Not come to my teaching. Not just come to my principles. Not just come to this system of thought. Come to me. He invites us to himself. He says that he who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. He is our bridegroom. And just like other bridegrooms, we have a future forever with him. We have a home that becomes truly with him. That's where our home is. We have a name. We share his name. Forever. He has welcomed us in. Through him we have adoption. We are many brothers. He's the firstborn of many brothers, and we're able to literally and truthfully call out to his Father, Abba, Father, because of what he's done. His prayer that I just quoted for you, I'll just quote it again. He said, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, included into the relationship of the Trinity, the love that the Father has for the Son and the Son has for the Father. Has Christ welcomed you? Yes. So welcome one another. Welcome one another for God's glory. Well, what does this mean? What does this mean? Imagine, okay, we're going to take an experiment here, and imagine that I that for some reason we're scattered like the church in Jerusalem was scattered. And next week, it finds all of us in a new city. And Danville's not a choice. So we're all over different places, and we all have to find community there. If you were to show up at a church and you start trying to plug in, what does it mean that they welcome you? Hopefully, it includes them saying, "Good morning. Glad to see you today." Do a little Tom Christopher in the front porch there. You know, he's greeted most of you probably today as you were coming in. Hopefully there's that. Maybe there's even here. Here's a good seat for you. Right up front. Right? So those back row people. Right up front. Here's a good seat for you. But is hello, we're glad you're here, here's a seat, if it was just that, if that was the sum total, is that welcoming? Yeah, but surely there's got to be something more. Maybe they're glad, they're truthfully, truthfully glad that you're there. But if that's all there is, just a truthful gladness that you're there, is that all there is to being welcomed in? No, welcomed in means let them be a part of your life. Welcome them in. And he says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. So now we get the opportunity to do that, to do that. Now, welcome one another. There's something missing from everything I've been saying so far, though I hinted at it in talking about the differences that you might find in the church in Rome, that global city. But just to make sure we don't miss it, Paul goes there next. He leans in on how this welcoming, this life and harmony that we're talking about, that has everything to do with endurance and encouragement, is multi-ethnic, all nations harmony. You hear, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and yes, that includes Jews and Gentiles and different kinds of Gentiles. So here's what we see starting in verse 8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Paul's pointing this out to you that the all nations part of this, all nations part of life, church life in harmony, has always been the plan. This is not new. This is not new with Jesus. It's not new with the Great Commission. It's always been the plan. It goes back to, Christ, he was born as servant to the circumcised. He's the only truly faithful Jewish boy ever to live. Truly faithful in every way to the law. But this was to confirm promises given to the patriarchs. What promises? Who were the patriarchs? Well, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What promises? What promises were given to them? You remember the promise to Abram when God changed his name? And he said, I will make you father of many nations. And he's not just saying, oh, you're going to be the father of the Arabs and the Amalekites and the Hebrews. No, many nations includes Chinese, Korean, South African, many nations by faith he becomes the father of. It's a promise, and that happens through Jesus Christ. He said to Abram in Genesis 12, he said, through you will all of the nations of the world be blessed. The nation's promises goes all the way back to the patriarchs. It was always part of the plan. And it was always in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. The Gentiles are not an afterthought. They were always part of it. And so he quotes, he gives us four quotes here, and I just want you to see these four quotes are just a sampling. He could have gone on and on and on, but already this is a letter. He's writing a letter that's 15 chapters long. Imagine if we let Paul do the announcements today. I mean, a letter, 15 chapters. All right, so he just gives us four, and they come from 2 Samuel 22, or Psalm 18, it's the same thing. Deuteronomy 32, Psalm 117, and Isaiah 11. I'll start with verse 9. In order that the Gentiles might receive God, glorify God for his mercy, we've said that was the finish of the sentence before. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. This is from David at the end of his life. It's a psalm, but it's really hard to say, well, is this where it's quoting from? Because that very theme of I will praise you among the nations is multiple places. You could find it in Psalm 18, but you could also find it in Psalm 57, or you could find it in Psalm 108. I will praise you among the nations. What? Isn't it just as good to just praise the Lord? Does it matter where we praise him, or among whom we praise him? Does it? It's good to praise the Lord anywhere and always, but there's something special about praising him among the nations that all peoples will see. And when we see, as we get to the next themes, as you see these going together, it's not just here's the people of God raising their voice and the nations are listening, but no, there's a crowd. And David is singing, and the nations are singing with him, with the joy of salvation. I will praise you among the nations. You can see that unfold as you go together in the next verse. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. You have the people from the nations celebrating with the people of God. Now, he could have chosen many. He could have used Isaiah 56, where the nations he will bring to his holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Or he could have used in Isaiah 19, this one's amazing to me. And that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and Assyria will come into Egypt, and Egypt into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, listen to this, blessed by Egypt, or blessed is Egypt, my people. Can you imagine the Jewish audience hearing this? When the word of God was given through Isaiah, don't you know that some people would have, at least at a gut level, can we erase that verse? Egypt is the one who enslaved the people of God. God rescued us out of the land of Egypt where we were in slavery. Blessed is Egypt, my people. And Assyria, oh, this is the captive. They're coming, and this is, you know, it ends up with Assyria who has held, it may be Babylon right there, okay, captured the people. And the fall of the kingdom, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. But there's something beautiful and joyous in the fact that you have Egypt singing the praises of God next to Assyria, next to Israel, as they together have experienced the grace of God. There's something beautiful here, and you gotta see it. But we're not done. The root of Jesse will come, verse 12. That's Jesus. Jesus, the son of, well, described as the son of David, and David is Jesse's son. The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. All the time, this whole time, when you see the word Gentiles, you can use the word nations if you want to. Ethnos, ethne, that's the word in Greek. In him will the Gentiles hope. In Jesus will the nations hope. You've got to see this. Why? Because, yes, in Rome you had it on display. Rome was this privileged city where the nations had gathered, and you had to imagine that in that church in Rome there were North Africans and there were people from Gaul, modern-day France, and the Dacians perhaps, which would be modern-day Romania, Turkey, all together in this city. worshiping together, and you have the Jews and you have the Gentiles. You have this on display. Well, Danville, more and more, is a city like that. Central Kentucky is a place like that. You've got people who are here. Let's see. So far, since living here, there's a gas station I stop at. I think they're Nepali. Not quite sure. I haven't gotten to discover that yet. I know we have Cambodians here in town. You can just explore. We'll find the nations have been brought here. International Thanksgiving, we're going to have, she said there's 80 international students at the college from 30 different countries. So that means there's quite a few who are the only international student from their country. Because that's not possible to have 80 with 30 if that's not the case. Such a blend right here. My kids have international exchange students studying at their school. Right here. We're becoming more like Rome was. And there's something beautiful about worshiping together when people come to faith in Christ and being able to share the joy. I say you've got to see it. You've got to embrace it. And that's important to me because I want to make sure nobody here at Ashland Danville thinks of multinational, the glory of God reaching the nations as some kind of an add-on to basic Christianity. That you think in my personal life, I can have through God and His Scripture and just me praying and thinking, and I'm just going to, I can have endurance and encouragement and hope in the fullest. And if I'm a missions person, I can add on to that a desire to see the nations reached. No, that doesn't seem to be how it's working here. It's in the midst of, it's between, may the God of endurance and encouragement and may the God of hope. There's all of this about the nations. In other words, I think that if our sense of the glory of God reaching all peoples is underdeveloped, our hope will be underdeveloped. We won't feel the full hope of the gospel. There's something hopeful that we're missing out on. And if we struggle, if we don't see God's purposes being so global, it may affect our endurance. So let's lean in and see this and praise the Lord for being the God of all nations. Because it brings us up to verse 13. May the God of hope. So we've heard, may the God of endurance and encouragement. And when Paul's mind and the Apostle Paul's mind then goes to church unity and the nations. And then he says, may the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. So there ought to be a joy in this for you. I don't know if you like to see the little videos that people post of kids. I love seeing these little moments. And many of you have probably seen the kid who gets to take, I mean, he's in the stroller. He's small. But he gets to taste bacon for the first time. You know the one I'm talking about? And you just see, oh, what's this? This child has discovered a new facet of life. As this flavor is hitting his tongue, he's like, yes! Well, may this be the case, perhaps, for some in this season ahead. Maybe you, the nations, the missionaries talk about the nations, and but as you start to see, and you don't even have to, these verses are also for people who live in places where there aren't any nations gathering, just the one. Which was most Christians in the history of the church. Most Christians did not live in a global city. And there's places today you can go and everybody they know is from the same ethnic background. They can still have a heart for the nations. There can still be a hope longing for the day when you have that great crowd together. But may that flavor hit our tongue. May that incorporate into who we are. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Peace? I can be peaceful without the nations, right? Very interesting. The word peace in Hebrew, shalom, by the way, it's part of the greeting of the letters, right? So often you have in the scripture, grace and peace to you. And across the cultures of the world, I can start listing hellos that you might know that have to do with peace. Salam alaikum is Arabic, has to do with peace. Aloha, those Hawaiians, peace. Annyeonghaseyo, the Koreans, they say peace. Hebrew, shalom, hippie, peace. It's part of a desire. It's a language of desire. May you have peace. Paul starts off this way, and now towards the end of his 16 chapter letter, he is leaning in and saying, may the God of endurance and the God of encouragement, and the God of hope. And then he says, fill you with joy and peace. And that word peace has to do also with wholeness. Not one missing. It could describe a flock that's fully there, among other things. Isn't that part of the joy of seeing the nations come to faith? There is a promise. Every tribe and tongue and nation, not one will be missing. And that gives us hope as we seek to reach the unreached. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And as you hear your pastor preach this to you, I want you to hear this as a word, my desire for you as well. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you these things. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let's pray to Him together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love and grace over us. Thank You for Your love and grace that's bigger than the decisions we make here, though those matter, bigger than style or preferences or song types or anything that we might find as something to navigate. Thank You, God, that You've put us together, given us a church family to live in harmony with. Thank You that we have the opportunity to welcome, but that's based off of how You, through Your Son, have welcomed us in. Thank You, God, that that is a truth that's not just for us, but for people all over this world. People we can't even greet because we can't speak their language. We can't, we struggle in those ways. We even thank You for modern things like Google Translate, and that helps. But Lord, thank You, God, for Your glory, glorious kingdom being an all nations kingdom, that Your grace includes all of us, that the gospel has gone all the way from Jerusalem to here, and that here in this room, we can sing Your praises together. May Your work continually be done in the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.